When the federal racketeering and corruption trial of three former leaders of the state probation department resumes today, you won't see or hear the testimony unless you're in the courtroom. That's because federal judicial officials have long banned photographs and audio recordings of court proceedings. Now some Republicans in the U.S. Senate are trying to change the rules, but it could be quite a fight. WBUR's David Boeri has this story this morning about cameras in the courts, which he prepared in collaboration with a publication, Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly.
This is what you're going to hear if you're not in the courtroom when Jahar Tsarnaev goes on trial on charges of murdering four people and injuring 270. Hear that? Right. Let's have the voice of Dictionary.com explain.
Nothing.
Nada.
Zip. Zilch. Diddly squat.
That's what you'll hear. And if you close your eyes, that's what you'll see.
Well, frankly, I think it's disgraceful, and I'll tell you exactly why.
Retired Massachusetts Superior Court Judge Robert Barton. He was on the bench some 35 years ago when this state opened its courtrooms to cameras.
The courts belong to the public. The courts don't belong to judges, even in multi-million dollar federal courthouses with magnificent lobbies. They belong to the people who pay the taxes.
Consider the high-profile, high-impact trials that are uncoiling in Boston's federal courthouse. The corruption trial of former probation commissioner John O'Brien is bringing dozens of state legislators and judges to the stand to answer how applicants got their jobs in state court. The Marathon Day bombings have led to multiple cases, which will culminate in federal prosecutors seeking the death penalty against Jahar Tsarnaev this fall. And a retrial will determine whether to impose the death penalty on Gary Lee Sampson, already convicted of carjackings in which he murdered two people in 2001. Yet a judicial system that promotes its openness will be closed to all but a few.
You know, what's interesting about the federal courts is that the security cameras are built into the walls.
Harvard Law professor Nancy Gertner served as a federal judge for 17 years.
So the notion that this would be in any way intrusive of the proceeding, that this would be physically intrusive, is absurd.
Indeed, every one of the courtrooms has cameras and microphones capable of broadcasting. They actually did broadcast the trial of Whitey Bulger last year to overflow audiences in other courtrooms of the same building. New rules even allow reporters to tweet and blog from the courtroom. But pull out your iPhone to record video and sound, and you're in trouble. The critics are getting louder, though.
You know what the Founding Fathers said about the trials and being open? They ought to be held in front of as many people as would choose to attend.
Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, has filed sunshine in the courtroom bills for the last 13 years. He likes to quote a certain Supreme Court ruling.
A trial is a public event, and what transpires in a courtroom is public property.
Unquote. And therefore,
it's going to be more public property if it's televised.
While he's not yet succeeded in pushing cameras into the courtrooms, Grassley's bills have pushed the U.S. Judicial Conference into initiating a pilot program here in Boston and elsewhere to test the effects of cameras in certain situations. How soon do you think this might actually change?
At a glacial pace.
Alex Kaczynski is the chief judge of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. He advocates for cameras, and his court in California is one of two exceptions where cameras are welcome. That's because Kaczynski and his fellow judges voted to allow them inside in 1993, after the U.S. Judicial Conference gave that option to appeals courts, but only to appeals courts.
At first, our judges were very sort of apprehensive and worried that they would be portrayed out of context. But we've had a very good experience with it. It's been very informative to the public.
Kaczynski says that cameras have effectively brought the Ninth Circuit Court to the broad sweep of Montana, Guam, Alaska, and Arizona. But other appeals courts across the country, including Boston, have resisted change. And none of the nation's 94 district courts ever got the same right to allow cameras. So broadcasting of criminal trials has been banned since 1946. So where is all the resistance coming from? Mark Wolf, a senior federal judge in Boston, says the nation's highest court sets the tone from top down.
The United States Supreme Court prohibits the broadcasting or recording in real time of its own proceedings.
Listen to some of the Supreme Court justices addressing the subject. Here's Antonin Scalia in a C-SPAN interview in 2012, saying the news media would use camera coverage in sensationalized and irresponsible fashion.
But somehow when you see it live, an excerpt pulled out of an entire, when you see it live, it has a much greater impact. Now, I am sure it will miseducate the American people. Not
the subject often turns staid justices into tigers. In 2009, Justice Anthony Kennedy beseeched a Senate committee.
Please, Senator, don't introduce into the dynamics that I have with my colleagues the temptation, the insidious temptation to think that one of my colleagues is trying to get a soundbite for the television. We don't want that.
Although the Judicial Conference technically makes the policy recommendations for the lower courts, observers say it takes its marching orders from the Supreme Court. Its Chief Justice, John Roberts, is its chairman.
It'd be interesting to know what governmental institutions people think function better now that they're on television than that they're not.
Judges and court personnel paint a picture of the high court as far removed from the everyday normality of camera coverage allowed by state courts since the 1980s. To every lawyer who makes an oral argument before the court, the justices award a memento. It's a pen, a quill pen. Chief Justice Roberts says a 3-year pilot project to study the effect of cameras in civil cases signals progress. But Judge Mark Wolf says another pilot program tested the same thing in the early 1990s. The results were so clear that cameras had a negligible effect, if any, on the administration of justice that the pilot was ended after only 2 years, Wolf says. But when proponents of cameras then recommended they be allowed into criminal and civil cases alike, the Judicial Conference emphatically said no.
In fact, they did the opposite without any empirical research or, as I'm told, discussion or debate. They adopted a policy directing the judicial councils to prohibit broadcasting in particular proceedings.
Former federal judge Nancy Gertner voices the common belief among court personnel that the pilot program has been designed to fail.
What is it? Almost 50% of the state courts now have had cameras for the past 30 years with cases that are much more high profile, bloody, purient interests of the public than anything that goes on in the federal courts, and the republic still stands.
We asked to speak with the Judicial Conference about its policies and its reasons for opposing cameras in trial courts. But conference officials declined to make anyone available, saying they would feel more comfortable speaking after the pilot program ends another year from now. Senator Grassley and the co-sponsors of his Sunshine in the Courtroom bill express confidence that someday federal trials will be broadcast. But so far, quill pens hold sway over cameras. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.